All right. Well, good afternoon. It's 3:15, so we will go ahead and start. My name is Nicholas Kafka, and I work in the in CDC's Division of STD Prevention. And I'm going to be the moderator today. And Steve, did you say you need to talk, say a word, or no? You know, okay, fine. So, very happy to be here to you today, with you today to talk about developing and using an epidemiologic profile. I think we have a great workshop coming up with very interesting presentations and very interesting people giving them. So we will we'll go ahead and start with myself first, giving a background as to why we need epi profiles, what they are, and then there'll be five discussants after me. I'll introduce them to you in a few moments. But each discussant brings a unique perspective and unique skills to the science and the art of data collection, analysis, and presentation. And by the way, when I refer to, I will say epi profiles instead of epidemiologic profiles, just so you know. But with respect to the creation of an epi profile, our effort has been underway for some time now, and our journey in its development is a work in progress. We have had input from many people both within CDC and in state and local health departments. And we don't have a finished product yet, but the process we have been through has been a very rewarding experience. And it's an experience, I think, from which we've all learned a great deal. Now, when there is a finished product, we want to make it available so that many people can have access to it and to use it as they see fit to improve STD surveillance in their own jurisdictions. And before I get into the nuts and bolts of epi profiles themselves, I think it's important to mention a little bit about how the discussants today came here to work on the project. Though many people were involved, I want to identify a group that played a particularly important role in this endeavor, and that is OASIS, or the Outcomes Assessment through Systems of Integrated Surveillance. We call it OASIS. And it was an NCHHSTP-initiated demonstration project that was founded in 1998 to work on issues about improving STD surveillance. And it's comprised of STD epidemiologists from CDC and also from state and local health departments. Some of the members come from health departments which have a large staff dedicated to surveillance, while others come from departments where there are very small staff, very few people working on surveillance issues. And some members come from states with a large size or small size, large STD morbidity, small STD morbidity. Some have large urban centers, while others serve rural populations. So I feel that this diversity is one of the strengths of OASIS, because we have members who work in many different realities with different perspectives and on surveillance and how surveillance can be done with differing amounts of resources. So, well, eventually OASIS evolved into an unfunded STD surveillance group, but kept meeting regularly to discuss ways to improve state and local surveillance capacity. One of the most important aspects that remains until today of OASIS is the informal network of STD epidemiologists that has developed out of our participation in the work group. One more person I'd like to mention who is not formally part of OASIS but really helped a lot with this development of this is Linda Gorgos, who worked for some time at CDC but now works in a different place. And of course, Kevin O'Connor is not in OASIS, but he's one of our cherished members of our audiences today. And we thank him for being here. He's the chief of the program and training branch. And I think he's in a unique position to understand and work with the transition between surveillance and activities in the field. And so over the past year or so, Kevin's organized a series of about 10 regional discussions with state and local health departments to enhance gonorrhea prevention. So this is just a map to show you what OASIS is or was. The red states or cities are sites that are currently active in OASIS, and the white ones are the ones that have worked with OASIS in the past. So first question that I wanted to sort of go over is, what is an epi profile? And for the purposes of this workshop, we're going to define an epi profile as a standardized way to analyze, interpret, and display surveillance data, in this case, STD surveillance data. And it's very, very important that it's practical and useful. And it's meant to be a suggestion of helpful ways in which data analysis, interpretation, and presentation can be done, rather than a required format to analyze or present STD data. Use of an EpiProfile can provide evidence to support public health decision making, and use of an EpiProfile can provide a common language for communication among public health programs, enabling the comparison of data among programs which serve different geographic or demographically diverse regions. Why do we need EpiProfiles? In areas where there are high burdens of disease or insufficient funding for unlimited program activities, which are quite a few, and where few opportunities exist for classroom training experiences, an EpiProfile can really be a useful practical guide for the analysis of STD surveillance data that can be used to inform programmatic activities. And additionally, having access to an EpiProfile can provide examples of technological advances in mapping and data presentation techniques that can allow for more informative analysis of data. So what are EpiProfiles used for? Well, under the assumption that STD prevention should be an evidence-based process, EpiProfiles can guide, can provide a guide for effective and useful analysis of interpretation of STD surveillance data to give programs the evidence they need to prioritize activities and make more effective interventions. And EpiProfiles are useful as a guide on what analyses, on what ways analyses have been done in the past and have been shown to be effective and useful in a variety of settings. And I think the five presenters that follow me will give you some very good examples of all these things I'm mentioning. So just briefly, I wanted to go over this framework that Linda Gorgos developed. And it focuses on epidemiologic questions of who, where, what, and why. And so these are the aspects of disease that should be understood so we can better meet the needs of the communities we serve. And these are things that EpiProfiles have the potential to help us understand. So the first question about what STDs are of importance in the populations we serve? Are there overlaps in different diseases that we see in the population? And what changes are seen over time in these populations, in the diseases in these populations? The question about the who question, we try to characterize the populations that are affected by disease in question. We try to understand what changes are occurring over time. Again, because this is surveillance, it's over time and things change. We're working with dynamic populations. The where question, we try to understand the geospatial distributions of disease. And I think this is one part where we really, some of the presentations you'll see have really go into that where aspect a lot. And it's really impressive what people have done. And for example, what are the venues and providers that are seeing high burdens of diseases, and where are they located in respect to the people who are getting the disease? And again, as surveillance is an ongoing endeavor, we need to know how these things change over time. And finally, the why question, which can be a little more complicated, difficult to get a feeling for, but in order to design and implement interventions that will actually work, it's very helpful to understand the risk factors that impact STDs, the socio-demographics of the populations, and social determinants of health. So throughout the workshop, discussants will go more in depth into these questions. And just a little bit about the process that we have been through to develop these EpiProfiles. Members of OASIS collaborated and worked with the person I mentioned, Linda Gorgos, to identify important issues in the analysis and visual display of data. Calling upon the experience of our group, we identified useful ways that have been applied in different situations to characterize STD morbidity in the populations they serve. And we gathered a collection of the different visual presentations of these analyses that included maps, graphs, tables, and other kinds of figures that you'll see. The document that we are developing is a 25 to 30 page document that contains selected examples of these analyses. The analyses that we provide do not represent the only way that data should be analyzed, nor is it a comprehensive analysis plan. Rather, the goal of the document is to provide a set of encouraging examples of how data can be analyzed, to understand and interpret surveillance data, and to meet the planning needs of STD programs, and ultimately to effectively decrease STD transmission in the communities that we serve. So without further ado, I want to just mention who the people are they're going to be talking. First, Katie McComber will talk about visually, Katie works in the Michigan Department of Health. She'll talk about visually effective methods to publish county and health department STD data. Mark Stinger from the Washington State Department of Health will talk about the application of an EPI profile for gonorrhea, for GC prevention planning. And then Jeff Stover will talk about strategies and lessons learned for EPI profile development in Virginia. And then Michael Samuel from the California Department of Health will talk about effective visual display and access to STD data in California. And then we'll hear from Kevin O'Connor, who will give us the perspective as branch chief of the program and training branch. And he will talk about the application of EPI profiles to program activities, focusing on where the morbidity is.